Corey. You just shot my dog!
And it's Talking Shop with Chris and Josh. Sponsored by...
Collector's Trading Post.
Collector's Trading Post and Three Alarm Comics.
The Three Alarm Comics are the best in comic books that Biloxi, Mississippi has to offer. And that was my mom. Fucking that up.
But I did it with style.
I agree.
Oh, man.
I was too busy watching the dog get shot.
Right.
Yeah. Wade.
Okay.
A little disclaimer. The dog didn't actually get shot.
It was only a Nerf gun.
It was a Nerf gun. With a adamantium waist tip. It's okay. Yeah.
And she was only stunned for a few minutes.
You don't understand the size and she let of the Lala. That was like real.
Yeah, really.
Like that was like a beanbag shot
that
by a cop.
That was a, yeah. What? What? I'm done already. I am offended.
Anyway.
Me and my small shot dog are going to go.
Small shot dog.
Welcome back to the podcast,
is there a small
folks?
Shot dog support group?
Okay. And welcome back to the podcast. We finally got to the podcast we've been trying to tease for a while, which is our Ladies Night podcast, in which we discuss ladies and comics.
You do realize this is the ladies' night, but we have four men here, actually, and five of you include the baby.
I was going to say, I don't know why you had to wait for us to have ladies' night.
Took quite a while for them to actually find some ladies that gave a shit about comics. That's why it took so long.
Tony doesn't count because he's basically a woman. Not just because of his ample bosoms.
I thought we weren't discussing bosoms.
Ah, it's too late. That's out of the bag now.
It's a hard one for us to not discuss.
Or out of the bra.
The bosoms are out of the bra now.
Good job.
You can't tell what these are.
Anyway, we've been talking about trying to put this together for a while, and Chris and I have been talking about this just in general for quite a while, which is, why don't women read a lot of superhero comics? I mean, you don't hear about it often.
Yeah.
And when you go into a comic shop, it's a big screaming sausage fest, unless there's a woman behind the counter running the joint.
And that's really strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually seen it pretty regularly, but they're always like 60.
Yeah.
They're 60 and like,
this is fantastic.
Yeah. It's like my son owned these ones.
It's like the owner's wife.
Yeah, the owner's wife.
I've been to 3 comic shops in my entire life. 60-year-old lady behind the counter, I swear.
There's one down in Roanoke Park where I used to live, and the lady was super knowledgeable and legit. Like, we hung out and talked for a good while about, I can't remember what it was.
And Wade went home and said, God, the most talking I've done to a woman was a 60-year-old woman at a comic shop.
Dude, Wade's down, dude. He loves old folks.
Should I be worried?
Pardon me, man. Can I escort you home in your walker?
No, you're not old enough, Mom, but you are getting gray enough. I'm starting to fall on the Wade's purview.
One of them.
Great Wade's purview.
Just to deal with you, Josh. Of course you are in those red hairs.
Anyway, let's do some introductions. We have over here sitting out chilling on the couch. We'll take a picture and show it to you guys.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
It's my mom. Her name's Tammy.
You can wear the Thor.
Introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hello. I'm Tammy. Hi, Josh. Nice to see you.
You're not talking to me. You're talking to our literally dozens of fans.
Dozens.
Oh my
dozens.
God. I'm
we are over 3 dozen now.
We're pretty small on the internet.
The what?
On the internet.
The what?
Yeah, we'll explain that to you eventually.
It's the magic thing in the box that you don't touch. We are into
Al Gore invented it. It's fine.
It's that thing that big paperweight that comes out of big paperweight at my house.
Yeah, that Nick looks at sports on. And over here we have my fiance Allie, who was on last week as well. Yeah.
Hi everyone.
Say hi, Tony.
She's a
hey, everybody.
And that's the other woman.
Yeah, it's my buddy Tony.
I just met Tony like an hour ago. Yeah.
And he's already ragging on him. Welcome to the real world.
Welcome to my house.
So we've only been ragging on him for like 15 years, so it's okay.
You're
going to
fit right in.
And Wade's over there. Wade's over there with his long, glorious locks. I guess it kind of counts as ladies' night.
Yeah.
Because you guys have long, flowing
and
hair.
His gun
don't be hateful.
Wow,
is your bald spot growing?
Wow.
Hey,
just a little bit.
Is your head getting cold yet?
Yep. Starting to.
Just checking.
Starting to.
That wind really blows out like 4 of your hairs.
Yeah, take that. I'm sensitive.
Tony made the comment about the baby. we're almost on equal hair territory here now.
Yeah, I think I have the same kind of... Actually, I think the baby has more hair than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically the entire theme of the night is women in comics and women and comics. So we'll see if we can actually get anything intelligent discussed between...
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
I think he insinuated that women are not intelligent.
What are your feelings on this? That's what I got, yeah.
No, hold on. I'm not there. They're intelligent. We're the retards in this podcast, as anybody who has listened has already known.
This is true. We can't argue this point.
All 12 of them.
That's right.
Well, comics are not intelligent, which is why women prefer to avoid them.
Oh, now we have a baby here, and I don't care about the comics.
You see? Baby distraction.
Yeah, women easily distracted by babies.
It's true.
We're distracted by words on...
Do you just hate more babies in comics? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know,
maybe.
What about the ex-babies?
The ex-babies, yes.
There you go.
Babies.
Ex-babies.
Doing cute things.
Anyway, I don't know. What should we?
You want to get to the first topic? You want to do a fun topic? Let's actually see what comics they've read.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
or comic related things.
I think
before BC, before children.
fantastic.
You know, I read just other people's comics laying around. You know, like typical Spider-Man stuff like that. The only one I can actually remember buying and reading on a regular basis, and I think I discussed this with you before, was back in the 70s. One of my sisters and I liked to read this comic, Commandy.
So it's an old DC comic, actually. Mm-hmm.
And, I've always been into the post-apocalyptic stuff anyway, and with animals thrown in, it would make it an interesting title for us, and we both liked it. It was like a novel that we would read if it wasn't in comic book form. Yeah. So that was something that we really liked to read. And then when you were a toddler, I started buying comics. And, of course, you were too young. Anything, everything, you know. Because every time we walk into the store, I'd have to buy you a comic book. So, and then I would have to read them to you. So there's like anything out at that time, we pretty much read. So, I mean, you know.
I remember you and my Aunt Butch reading a ton of ElfQuest comics.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I was going to mention ElfQuest. Forgot about ElfQuest. I don't, you know what, to me, like, ElfQuest, I don't consider as a comic, you know. To me, it's like they say now, you know, it's a graphic novel, which they didn't use the term back then. But to me, it's like a comic is like your superhero comics, and it's just like, back then, 60, 75 cent comics off the rack. Whereas ElfQuest was a book with pictures.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. Oh yeah, loved ElfQuest. Would fight over who got to get to the next episode first. Been a few years though.
Next issue.
They
published them as books.
Yeah.
I remember for a while there in high school, myself and my younger brother Caleb were buying my mom here some ElfQuest trades every time we would go there. I'm like, oh, another one. And it's like, if you've never read ElfQuest, it's really cool. It actually changed my perceptions when I was younger. Because, have you ever read ElfQuest, Chris?
No.
Oh, gotta read it.
It's violent. And there's like,
very.
It's violent. There's sex in it. They actually, the guys that did it, Winnie and Richard Pini, I believe they have some pedigree with Heavy Metal Magazine. And it's like, when you're 8 or 10, you know, reading Spider-Man and Green Lantern and Captain America, and like my mom's got some of these laying around, and my aunt had some. I was like, "Whoa, there's boobies in this!" And some guy just got stabbed in the face.
Yeah.
And you know, and it was really interesting.
Which has led Josh to stab people in the face
and look at boobies.
Kids in comics, you can't let them read it.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's a great book though. It really is. I mean, for being about something that, oh, they're cute. They're elves that ride wolves. Yeah, these wolves tear. Was it goblins?
Yeah, I think
or orcs, something to that effect, or trolls, and they're just like tearing them to shreds.
Oh yeah, it's very
trolls with the drools in their belly.
No, that's bad, sad trolls.
Okay,
yeah, I had those two when I was little.
Me too.
Yeah, but those, and that's as a woman is like, that's the type of comics I like enjoyed reading. And then when you got older and started reading a lot of stuff, it'd be like, Mom, you have to read this. And then, in case, for people that don't know, Josh can be a real nag.
Yeah.
Mom, have you read that yet? Mom, have you read that yet? Mom, have you? No. I'm picking it up right now. I'm reading it.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Chris, you never read this comic yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I'm going to be 55 this year. I know very few women my age who have read V for Vendetta. I have read Watchmen and Preacher and Sandman, and I enjoy them. You know, I'm really glad that Josh has said, here, Mom, you got to read this. You're going to like this.
Don't forget to mention your favorite. Oh, your current favorite.
Well, I was going to save that for when I figured we could
I actually have a neat little anecdote.
But my absolute favorite is Fables.
Yeah.
Love Fables.
I actually met Bill Willingham at Worldcon over the summer here in town, which is Reno NV for those who don't know. And I talked to him a little bit and talked about how my mom and I were both big fans of his. And he was like, your mom reads comics. And I was like, oh, yeah, she likes that. Like Sandman. His mom loves Sandman. I was all Fable, Sandman, Preacher. He's all, Preacher?
I was like,
yeah, she loved Preacher. I told her that I had never let her finish it because we were getting it from a library and they didn't have the next to last volume and I didn't want her to read because I'd already read the whole series at that point to skip a volume, and Bill Willingham was thoroughly impressed.
Well, you know, and so, I think...
I thought that was cool.
And I think a lot of problem is, like, parents, their kids are reading, they don't want to read. It's like, you know, how many kids and even adults want to... well, actually... hand this to the parents and here, you got to read this. I think you'll like this. And I think if more kids did that, especially if they, like, you know, you and I know what each other like to read, so it makes it easier for us to be able to recommend things to each other.
Exactly.
And then sit and discuss it, because it's like he'll always say, hey, which part are you at? And then we'll discuss. Oh, I love that part. Did you get to the part where it's like, oh, okay, I won't tell you.
If you ever would have gotten farther into the George R. R. Martin books, we could talk about those, too.
Allie's you mean the ones that aren't at my house?
Only the first two aren't at your house.
Well, I've only read the first one, so I can't read the third and fourth one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's alright. the silly monkey noises are coming from Tony's baby, Vincent. We'll throw pictures up at him, too, because he's a nerd in training. He'll be there someday soon. Oh, don't sad face me.
He gave you an angry look. He's like, I'm already a nerd. I'm ready.
That's right. He is named after Vincent from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
Something I'm sure that we will never, ever let him live down.
Who was, by the way, pretty cool.
Yeah. Mom did like Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
And he's wearing an Optimus.
Vince is not my favorite.
Yeah.
So
your
far,
favorite was Sephiroth.
Sephiroth, absolutely.
And I have tattoos up. So.
That's true.
Let's see him. Shall I have a Final Fantasy VII tattoo?
Nice.
And I have to take my whole shirt off to show you my George R. R. Martin tattoo.
I don't mind.
You have it, George?
Only half, well, yeah, it's,
I don't mind.
Let's see it.
It's too late now.
Those who have read the books know that, it's in the second book. Arya receives a coin that says
so
Valar Morghulis on it, which Wade has a really pretty rad tattoo of. That's about half finished.
Yeah.
Anyway,
done by Jeremiah Sturgeon, a rapid mammoth tattoo over in Susanville, California. If anybody wants to know.
Yeah.
I like how you were pointing at the microphone, and talking to it, just in case.
He had his
just in case
girl
you
finger
it.
Going.
Yeah. He did say that. Yeah.
Anyway, Allie. Talk about what comics you read and what you've read and stuff like that. Because I think you said you read a little bit before we got together, but or at least you knew of them.
She knew that comics existed.
That's all I care.
Yeah, before I met you, I knew they were there, and was absolutely not interested in it because to me, I mean, they were picture books. I mean, you know, I've never been around comics. Apparently, my dad read them when he was younger, and when. My brother and I destroyed them when we were old enough to do that. So, I mean, you know, so he wasn't continuing on that now that he had children.
Chris's epic upset.
I don't
face.
Know what That's you're... I was a child. Face. I was a child.
That's no excuse.
Well,
I don't know if I can get that one back. Hold on.
I don't... That looks like a pooping face to me, not a... That's...
You say it.
Okay, you gotta learn the boo-boo face.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
That'll go on our Facebook page.
Okay.
Oh man. Actually, you have to get better with that.
Anyway. Anyways. Continue. I mean, let everybody know what you read and enjoy and stuff like that.
Okay, and so the first comic that you gave me was actually Sandman, because we were over at Tony's, and you were like, hey, you'd like this, and I just tore through that. It was the
massive hardcover. That you could kill a man with without really much effort.
I loved it. I'm not actually sure why I stopped reading it.
I don't know
either. I think when we moved here, I don't know. I just Anyways, and then Fables, which I also loved. And I wasn't sure about it when you told me it was fairy tale characters. And I'm just like, oh, God, this sounds so awful.
Yeah.
And it's a little hard for me because I do read a lot. And it's hard for me to get used to the comic book format.
Yeah.
You know, because, it's hard for me. And but I do enjoy Fables. I love Fables. And then the next one was the other Ben Temple Smith one.
Oh, Wormwood?
Wormwood and Choker. Because I love his art. It just, I love it so much. The desk thing, you know, because I did that. Yeah. It was crazy because I love his art. I'll read any Ben Temple Smith anytime because I love it.
Yeah, he's a good writer too.
You know, I think
Wormwood, if anybody hasn't read it, is brilliant and hilarious, and the art is amazing.
Yeah. Well, but
and I think if women were more aware of the art and the story involved, that they would be more interested in reading it. I think a lot of times, just because they haven't been given that opportunity, or they think, oh, that's like. Comics, teenage boys, you know.
Teenage boys and superheroes. I mean, honestly.
And there's so much more out there.
Yeah, before.
But even some of this, of course, like I said, you know, him growing up, I read them to him.
Yeah.
You see, and a lot of people think, oh, you read comics. You know, you should be reading, you know, real children's books. It's like, you know, what difference does it make as long as they develop an interest? I mean, he had regular books. He had comic books. But what difference does it make as long as they develop an interest in reading?
Right.
You know? So, to me, it didn't matter what it was.
Yeah.
And if there was, like, words in there I didn't think he needed to know, skip it over. He didn't know what was there.
Yeah.
Until he was, like, 3.
But, Josh is very well-read. We'll go with that.
I think
Good vocabulary.
Yeah.
Always had a good vocabulary.
Yeah. I have a smart-ass vocabulary. It works pretty well.
You can swear in multiple languages.
Barely.
Okay, and then I got a couple graphic novels.
At that sale down there, it was like A1 Comics and SAC.
And I read all those.
Or Citrus Heights, technically, I think, because it was right near your dad's apartment.
I don't know.
But it was a really cool little shop. They had, like, a big sale in Alley. It was like, oh, I'm just going to grab this. And she actually grabbed some stuff by, like, Jamie Delano, who is who wrote John Constantine for years and made John Constantine really cool. It's got some John McCrae art in there.
My favorite was The Cruel and Unusual.
Yeah, that's the one that's written by Jamie Delano.
It was awesome. It was an awesome book.
Yeah. Throw in what Katie likes, who is in absentia, unfortunately.
Yeah, she's going through a phase where she's angry at comics.
I did that for a while too.
Yeah, okay. But no, she
every day.
She loves Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I think she has more Wonder Woman comics than I have of any single character comic at all. And that's including Deadpool and Captain America, which I have ridiculous amounts of.
Yeah, you have almost the entire modern Cap run.
Yeah.
Silver Age on, right?
Yeah, I have the entire Silver Age Cap until now.
Yeah.
If you include what's at my parents' house.
Cool.
Yeah. I haven't read it all, but I have it all.
Nice.
And actually, there might be a few issues I'm missing, but... you know, she loves... There was a time where when we first came, she would buy anything that had a girl in it, she loves Ms. Marvel. She loves Wonder Woman. What else does she like? Something else she collected. She loves She-Hulk, too.
I think a lot of that is because, you know, you want someone you can identify with. And so it's easier just to pick a woman character and then go with it. Although, there is a girl I work with at Walmart that is a big Superman fan. I mean...
She's pretty legit when it comes to superhero books.
Yeah,
Maria is.
Yeah, we have to bring Maria in here.
I think that's actually a sort of a good segue into our next little bit, which is I think it's one of the big issues that a lot of women have with this comic, which is the depiction of women in comics.
Yeah,
and it's I think it's a very detrimental depiction a lot of the time.
Yeah, it throws a lot of people off.
Well, you know, let's face it, they're not drawn to
real proportions.
Well, not just that, but I mean, they're not drawn to make me interested in it. They're drawn to get that teenage boy to pick up that comic book.
Yeah.
You know, teenage boys don't want to look at an average looking woman. They want to look at a woman with big tits. You know, it's like, ooh,
why does that woman look normal? I don't like this. I go to the mall and see that.
Yeah. And it's like, but you know, the downside of this is, you know, They get older, get into the real world. It's like, you don't look anything like Wonder Woman. I'm not going out with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Good luck on that one.
Why is your superhero outfit a shawl? What's going on?
But I mean, that
makes sense. Sweatpants?
You know what? The first time some guy actually got some chick like that and woke up next to her in the morning, his illusions would be shattered very, very quickly. Yeah. Like, who replaced you with a gargoyle?
See, I mean, personally,
why are you mad about stuff?
I'm not put off by the depiction of women in comics because it's like, I know it's why it's like, you know, that's what their idea of the perfect woman looks like or whatever.
Yeah, it's
whatever.
Ridiculous.
But let's face it, how many of the superheroes really look like a real person?
Yeah,
you know?
And McGinnis.
Oh God.
To continue on that thought, like it doesn't bother me personally necessarily on how they depict women either, but I don't want to read about it either. Like, it doesn't, you know,
I'll read one that's got a few, I don't really like most, I mean, the characters that I like are not the women, because they're not,
I agree.
I mean, even though they're like, now they're making them, like, strong, smart, and everything. They're still not one I identify with. I enjoy the male characters seem to be more fleshed out, more interesting. Mm-hmm. The women are just there.
Kind of there.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, they're the extras.
That huge phase of women characters where they felt they had to make the woman a strong...
Mm-hmm.
And it's not realistic. Not all, every woman you're going to meet is a strong, independent woman. Some are going to be more...
You know, and it seems like, I think it's a lot of it is because it seems like the industry is very much a boys' club.
Yeah, and they're like, well, crap, we got to make somebody happy.
Exactly. You know, after this past week, I was reading a lot of books, thinking about this topic since the show's coming up, and it's like, just read your average superhero book and look at the female characters in it. Just look at a team book, look at something else, and a lot of the times they don't feel like characters. Mm. I was reading Red Hood and the Outlaws, which has got a big thing because, remember like Teen Titans and Starfire, was a neat character on that show. She was kind of ditzy, but she was fun and she wasn't.
Talking about this, I like her. I like Starfire.
They
like,
basically turned her into a sex doll for like a couple issues of that, and it's like she has amnesia or whatever, and she knows she's in a relationship kind of with Red Hood, who used to be Robin. And yet she had sex with some other guy on the team because she's bored.
Yeah, it's like,
and it's,
you know,
like this got huge, huge things about it in the comic community because they're like, why did you do that? Especially with a character that kids might know.
Yeah.
And it's like her costume was revealing back in the 80s. Now it is basically boob covers.
Yeah, you actually have it, I don't know.
Yeah, here, I'll show you what
we can comment on it.
What she looks like, and
I was actually thinking about how I felt about like depictions of women.
That's what Star Sapphire looks like, or not Star Sapphire, but Starfire.
Wow, that's amazing.
Here, there's another shot in this book. I'll show you that it's.
I was really disappointed when I, because I liked it. I thought she was cute. I thought she was fun.
Yeah, I think the only time I get kind of annoyed with how they depict women in comics. I mean, because, they're going to depict the adult women like porn stars.
Yeah.
I think it really bothers me is when they start depicting the teenage girls like that. Like the Rob Liefeld drawing where it's like...
Yeah, that's what her costume looks like. She literally wears more on her legs than she wears on the rest of her body.
You can tell who these characters are drawn for by, you know, their... By looking at their physiques, obviously, if they're long-breasted, they're going to be geared for men. If they have broad hips, powerful thighs, I think women tend to be a little bit more attracted to that in terms of just like.
And we were discussing Wonder Woman earlier.
You know, the power that
these
characters
have.
Yeah. Talking about Chun-Li, women like that.
Yeah.
I think Fables did a great job with their women characters.
They look like real people.
They do, and some of them are.
They were very varying.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. There was.
You had the ditzy ones.
Yeah, you had the
strong
ones. You had the plain looking ones.
You had the crazy ones.
Yeah, the crazy ones.
Some of them dressed real sexy, and which is fine, you know. And then others, and it's like, they were. Felt more like real people and you could identify with all of them. Yeah. I really, really enjoy, which...
I know, I think it...
Yeah, I know, I'm... I told Bill Willingham that I was a couple volumes behind.
Couple?
Yeah.
Couple?
Yeah.
What, well, do you I have to move back? Either. Do you have to move back home so I can read more fables?
But and he was actually fully willing to take
I need a vacation.
Okay.
To take the blame on that one because apparently he has schedule issues and stuff like that and he comes up late and I was like, actually it's my fault because I'm like three trades behind. Oh well, that's all on you.
So
that's
now,
all your fault. I was really
he's really
you
surprised that a woman my age found that interesting though, huh?
Not so much you, like, because I thought I told him that you liked fables. And he was like, "Oh, that's really cool." Like, I think he liked that women were digging his title. Yeah. And I think it's really easy for a woman to like fables because a lot of the good characters are women in that. Well, some damn good characters. Like Snow White is awesome.
Oh yeah, she's like a main character in there, you know. Yeah. And
she's a badass.
She is. She's tough. And for reasons other than just she runs around beating people up because she doesn't do that.
No.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
But when she does face adversity, she pulls through it being tough
but
and not being like, I need a man to protect me.
But they let her be emotional and flawed as well. Like, it's not just like, I'm going to do this by myself. You know, they let her feel and be real.
Women do have emotions, you know, and they want to.
Even strong women.
Exactly.
She's not like one of the bra-burning.
You know, it's like, and there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I hate women. I can't stand that.
Yeah, women want to see emotions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, and you know that I'm just as willing to sit and watch an action film as a chick flick, depending on my mood, because
sometimes you want to watch an action film. There's no thought to it.
The husband is surprised that I sit there and watch The Walking Dead. I mean, granted, it started out with me and your youngest brother watching it together, but now I watch it for myself.
Yeah.
Just because this is something that I've watched with you guys, and so now I've taken an interest. Well, I want to see how this is done now and see how they take the whole zombie thing, which, you know, the one thing I get really tired of with the zombie thing, though, is like, okay, I'm a little tired of watching them eat corpses.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, they're going to eat somebody, it's going to happen. This will...
Oh, tear that tail. Well, it's like, okay,
see,
no.
See, what you dislike about Walking Dead is that it's more drama and stuff like that. And that's what I like about
it.
Is that
it's too dramatic.
Well,
we've had that discussion.
I like that it's not just zombies attack.
Yeah.
You just actually made a comment that about us not having Walking Dead to talk about.
I know.
We found a way.
Yep, we will find a way. I don't even like that show that much.
I finally caught up in the last two episodes today.
Yeah.
So.
She can, yeah, you should have listened to it. You should have been here last time. Or last week would have been perfectly fine.
Working.
Yeah.
You know, some of us have to, like, have a job.
I know. I have a crappy one, too.
I know.
Another strong female character is Jupiter from The Watchmen.
Oh, Sally Jupiter?
Yeah.
Technically, Silk Spectre. Yeah, she was. And that's why I disliked her portrayal in the movie. Is that... They oversexed her in the movie with that sex scene.
Yeah,
and
she was strong. She's beating up thugs in the comic book.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was rough. It's like she like especially in her relationship with Dr. Manhattan. It's weird because that like he's the unreasonable one in that relationship.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Because he has no connection with humanity anymore, and she's just like, I just want you to be a human being for a while and actually understand some stuff.
Yeah,
and he just doesn't get it at all, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I really liked him at first, and then, like I say, started to distance himself. It's like, okay, I don't know if I like you anymore now. Rorschach, of course, was, like, awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
It wasn't bad. I think you saw it first.
I did. I saw it in the theater.
And then we talked about it, and I was surprised that you liked it and that the alternative ending you actually felt worked better for the film than in the comics, rather than having it alien invasion. I actually kind of missed that. I would have enjoyed that part, but you know, I'm really book wise it's like, I mean, I know you prefer more fantasy type books, whereas I lean towards sci-fi and fantasy.
I'm actually I'm leaning more towards sci-fi a lot of the time. Mass Effect helps. Because I like Mass Effect a lot.
You can actually start playing Mass Effect.
See, now that's one connection I don't have with any of it is you know, no video games in the house now with no children in the house.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, you don't even want to see me. You want to see everyone.
You just want to play.
I think I just have a good spot.
Yeah.
Even
Chris
is distracted by the baby at this point.
I'm looking forward to reading some more of
I'm distracted by shiny objects.
Fables and anything else that you come up with that you say, hey, Mom, read this.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that I know I'll like it. Now, did you get to read any of ElfQuest? Did you actually read the...
I think I read the first five volumes of ElfQuest.
You've never held a baby before?
And it was just really cool. You've never held a baby before?
It's been a while.
He was all, can I
try? No, you can't hold him over the floor like that, upside down.
By his ankle? What? This doesn't work?
He's smiling, it's fine.
Just palm him by his head, dude.
He's giggling, it's okay.
That's okay, they bounce.
You can't play soccer with him?
I think Tony's just happy to not have to carry a baby for a while.
No.
It's strange how heavy
he's gonna.
It's like I'm doing a podcast long workout.
Yes.
Baby.
Don't get the baby.
Yeah. So we've just discussed their depiction. I think as part of the main topic that Chris and I were discussing is why don't women read superhero comics? And we've basically discussed that just now.
Yeah,
but
we can't identify with them. I mean, like I said, I don't think. They're written for women. I think they're written for men, and that's why women don't really like the... I mean, it's like, when I read a superhero comic, very seldom do I enjoy the female character in there. I'm more interested in the male character, because he's more fleshed out. The story with him is better. And I just honestly think it's written that way on purpose. You know,
my cool boss that used to run the comic shop at work, he actually said, he's like, I don't think they're written for women.
Scared of them?
I think there are superhero comics out there that are written for women.
Well, think about it. The majority of comic book writers, men.
Smiling away.
And it's the same thing that, my understanding is it's the same thing that happened in science fiction for a long time. Is it was mainly a boys' club.
A lot of the guys don't understand women, so...
Yeah.
How are they going to write an interesting female character?
And this is true, but you know what? It can be done, because I've read...
I've read
a lot of science fiction, and mostly male science fiction writers, and they can write women characters very well.
I mean, look at Bill Willingham, who writes his female characters extremely well.
His stuff's a little softer around the edges, so women can identify with the characters.
You can tell that he respects women, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell by his character.
Well, which is funny, because he's a Republican.
And, you know, the thing is...
What?
You have to even, like, respect women.
I think that he respects characters.
Exactly.
Well,
you know,
maybe.
It's like...
Maybe, yeah.
Because, you know, you can have a female character in there that the author evidently doesn't respect women, but that doesn't mean it's a bad character
and
it's not enjoyable to read. I mean, to me,
I walk only one
if it's well written, I don't care how the author feels about this or that, but it's just... and like I said, and I know that there are women that can write intriguing male characters as well as female characters.
It's kind of interesting in that, like, stuff that I know that was written by women, it seems like it's easier for a woman to write a compelling male character than it is for a man to write a compelling female character. I don't know what it is.
That's because men don't understand women. You know it.
Really?
And
we only figure that out now in this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
what do you think, Tony?
Well, some people can get it right. Terry Goodkind did the Wizard's First Rule, the Sword of Truth books, and those were jam packed with estrogen. You know, if Game of Thrones is for men, it's crammed with testosterone. I think Terry Goodkind's books are the antithesis. A lot of women love those books. You know, they're not.
Now I like a balance. I mean, you know, we were discussing this early. My favorite author, Anne McCaffrey. I don't know if you guys have read any Dragon Riders of Pern. A lot of people think it's fantasy, but it's actually sci-fi.
And it actually they've had various comics about that.
Yeah, they've actually done graphic. Yeah, but to me, it's a good balance. You know. It's not filled with testosterone. It's not filled with estrogen. It's both the female and male characters are really well written. They're guys aren't better than the girls in it. One can be just as strong as the other. One can be just as bad as the other. And I think that the balance can be. And I've read male authors that, I mean, like I said, more male authors than female that can do a good balance. To me, that's what it should be. It's not so much write it for women or write it for men. Yeah. Write it for both. You know, you can you can do a balance.
Yeah.
I mean, let's say fables.
Yeah.
You know, it appeals to men and women. You know, and I think, and like I said, it's not filled with testosterone or estrogen. It's not either one.
It's just a good story.
It's a well written story with interesting characters that you care about, and each one of those characters is well written about. You know, it's not just the interesting guys, and then the women are just off the side, or vice versa. I don't want to read just the vice versa either. You know, I want the balance.
It just makes me think of Andre Norton and another old school sci-fi writer who's a lady, and she wrote Beastmaster, which was made into a really terrible movie.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was a good movie if you had never read the book.
Yeah, and but it's very interesting because the book doesn't even have any female characters in it.
The first, the first
one does not, but
the second one barely.
Yeah. It's such a rad book. Like,
but yeah,
I remember reading it when I was a kid. It's basically, it's a classic adventure.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, this is really cool. And then, like, I found out, I thought it was a guy for the longest time. Yeah. I wrote it, and I was like, oh. And it changes your perceptions on how you think
and
about
it. And the main character is not emasculated in any way.
No. Nope.
Now, granted, you do see an emotional side, but not till the end.
Yeah.
But the character of Storm is a great character. I mean, it's like, I was so excited when she came out with another. I was like, oh my god, another Storm book, you know. But either gender can write about the other, if as long as you're good. Like, it just takes a good writer, you know. That's the one that's willing to go there.
Actually, like Tony brought up George R. R. Martin earlier about saying his series is more of a man's club, but I feel he does a pretty decent job about making women believable.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, absolutely.
Like, Kat Stark is a really strong, positive female
character. I hate her character, too. But
I know you do.
For the stuff she does, but not for who she is.
Cersei is just this awful, conniving woman that, like, it's a good balance.
And then you throw in Brienne of Tarth, and you're just like, wow, this is what would normally be a man's role. And she rocks that, dude.
Yeah, she does.
Again with that, it's like what you were saying. It's really well written, and so even though I don't like Cersei, I don't like.
Oh, she's so awful.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was fun reading.
Sansa or whatever.
True.
But I can. It's easier to read those chapters, and it's still interesting because it's so well written.
Yeah.
All
right. So basically, it's the writing that's important. It has to be well written. I think it's better than anything else.
Words and art. Yeah. Now, if you want to, as a teenager, it's really, I think it would be really hard to catch teenage, like, you know, comic, most boys start with comics, grammar school, middle school.
Yeah.
And that's what starts their love, and it just moves on. Some of them give it up when they hit maturity.
That was an air quote.
Yeah.
And an angry voice.
Yeah. But, girls, I don't, and, like, right now, I think teenage girls, like, and this is what I've noticed mostly through Nick's niece, they're more interested in things like Twilight, Hunger Games. Now, come out with a comic like that, you're going to catch the interest of teenage girls. Teenage girls are not interested in superheroes,
per se. There was a Twilight graphic novel.
Yeah, it's a Japanese one, and it is selling ridiculously well.
That's what's going to appeal. And, if you can catch them then, get the, you know, because basically what you need to do to get any demographic is to just get them once. You know, if you could get those teenage girls to pick up one, and they really like it, there's a good chance they're going to pick up another one, and another one, and another one. Because there are comics out there that women will enjoy.
Yeah.
They just don't know they're there, and they're afraid to try it.
Well, and comic books are really depicted. How often do you hear about other comics besides superhero comics?
Yeah.
I just thought that's what comic books were. I just thought, and I was like, I don't care about Superman. I don't care about Spider-Man. I don't like any of that. And so why would I even think about reading comic books?
I just remember, the other comics I read when I was younger.
What's that?
The horror comics.
Oh, the old EC stuff. Such great. Those are great books.
Those, we read those. I just, all of a sudden, I just remember.
Grandma and Grandpa let you get away with reading that? I could see Granddad not really caring.
No, you know what? When we, that was the cool thing. If it was our money, we spent it what we wanted. We wanted to buy those type books, fine. As long as we didn't ask them for the money. Babysitting, there was a good chance we'd go buy a teen magazine or one of those. Like I said, we all, and one of us might buy one, and then we'd all read it, and then, because there was four of us girls growing up. And so one might buy one, and then, somebody else babysat, so we got some money, so somebody go buy another issue. And, I mean, some of those horror stories were, like, weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's funny how often old-school sci-fi writers were writing for EC Comics, because EC Comics was one of the first ones out there that when they came out with the Comics Code Authority, said, we're not going to publish under you. They tried to make them do it, and they're like, no, we're just going to publish anyway, because they tried to take away all their neat stuff that they could do, and they're like, we're not going to deal with that.
Well, that's what people read it for.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, William Gaines, who was a really cool guy. But, I mean, so should superhero comics change that demographic, or to just stick with what they do well,
which
is
get
the male viewers in, or male readers in there, excuse me.
Should superhero comics change that? Is that what you're...
Because superhero comics really are the face of comics.
Exactly.
Yeah?
That's what their comics are basically defined by, and then everything else just comes from that.
Some of the things you don't know were actually comics.
How do you feel about superhero comics, though? I mean, like, just... It's not
I'm
even...
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not really... I mean, I've read a lot. Some of them I enjoyed, but... They're not something that I go back to or would actually go and buy. I basically think there are women out there that do enjoy them, but I'm not one of them. I mean, we will discuss. You and I talk about different things, and I know a lot. And then you'll have me read certain things, and I will find it interesting. But basically, I think superhero comics guys find more interesting. There's not really a superhero comic book out there that I really enjoy and would just keep buying.
I don't think that.
Just thinking about it now, I don't really read any superhero comics.
Because you're a girl.
I guess. Watchmen is the most superhero-y comic I've read and like thoroughly enjoyed.
I loved Silk Spectre.
He just likes her fashion sense.
Are you sure?
That outfit really brought out her eyes. You know, it's just...
It did.
It was spectacular.
You know, well, I didn't like the way the skirt was, you know, and her butt kind of hung out the bottom. I'm just really not into the
butt. There's something about, for me, you just asked me earlier what my favorite superhero was, and there's just something about superheroes and that whole thing that I just don't get it.
Girls, I remember when I was younger, and don't hate me. I love you, son. But when I was younger, one of my favorite superheroes was Aquaman. They actually appeal. I mean, you know, he was like underwater. They drew him so he was cute. You know, there wasn't sexy women in there. And now for me being younger, it's like the interacting with the sea creatures. That was cool, you know? Aquaman was friends with all the sea creatures, so that, and
you
being a big animal lover.
Fish after you.
But, and I also liked Thor. I hated it when they put a beard on Thor. It's like, what the hell is the matter with you? You can't put a beard on Thor. It's not, even though proper Norse god would have a beard.
You liked it? You thought he was handsomer without the beard?
Absolutely.
I was actually just
and
thinking.
He wasn't all muscly. I mean, you know, the original Thor wasn't all muscle bound and everything, you know.
He was big, but he wasn't. I think that's old comics too. Is that the 90s really kind of ruined that for everybody?
I was actually thinking about getting the things that can get women into like superhero comics.
And it's not going to be super heroines. It's going to be superheroes. It's why do guys like the heroines? They like to look at women.
A big thing with it. You, with all the movies coming out, you cast an attractive guy in that role.
Oh yeah, they're gonna
girls would be like, whoa, okay.
He's a handsome dude.
Maybe I'll check this out. It doesn't always happen, but...
No, I don't think so.
It doesn't always, but...
I think they stick
like
all...
Girls,
they stick ugly as Jeremy Renner's hot guy.
You can get that.
You can get them to watch the movie, but I don't think casting an attractive man in that kind of... is going to make them go read comic books.
It wouldn't, but it might pique the interest a little bit. Yeah. Especially... Not for more mature...
Ryan Reynolds is a very attractive man. Yeah. I still have no interest in reading Green Lantern comics. I'm just saying that I don't think that their attractiveness has any connection
to comic
books.
I'm going to try to get you, by next week's episode, I'm assuming that you should read
I will read it for you, babe, but it has nothing to do with the attractiveness of Ryan Reynolds. That's all I'm saying.
I think everything I do in my life has to do with the attractiveness.
Is that
right? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think I want to become Canadian just because of Ryan Reynolds.
I'm not afraid to admit this. Ryan Reynolds is a sexy man.
Oh, yeah. Where did he get those abs from?
I would eat peanut butter off those abs.
That what?
His abs. Have you seen those things?
I don't know, but...
It's granite, and I think that's like diamond.
I think sometimes when they run out of extra rope, they lay him down as an rumble strip.
He has like special abs, though, because, I mean, there are six-packs, and then there's Ryan Reynolds.
Then there's the Ryan Reynolds.
My husband doesn't have a six-pack. He has a keg.
I honestly think...
He goes for the volume.
Okay.
I think that Ryan Reynolds... It's just all the extra sexy in his body could not be contained, so they had to seal it in his masculine abs. Just to make sure it doesn't escape. He's like a Greek god. It's ridiculous.
It's like a really big netting and just held it against his stomach, it's and it's like, awesome. He's trying to escape. Yes.
Okay.
Wow. We spent a lot of time
on Ryan Reynolds' abs.
I
think we would all like to spend a lot of time on Ryan Reynolds' abs.
Ryan Reynolds, though, as they
You
have.
Know what? I don't really look at that.
We'll go to the fun stuff now, since we've had some serious discussing.
There's nothing more fun than Ryan Reynolds'
this
abs.
This is a couple weeks ago.
I thought we were already on the fun stuff, I'm telling you.
They seem like to be sweeping around to the internet. Which is
Ryan Reynolds.
What would male superhero costumes look like if they were designed like female superhero costumes, i.e. to accentuate their sexual aspects?
Wait, can we talk about what male superhero costumes would look like if women, designed them?
They would probably look functional.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
He's wearing a bulletproof vest. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Thank you. Right. I so agree with this. This is ridiculous.
You know what
I think about when I think about fighting crime? I think about putting on tights. And you know how much that's so much... that's what I would do.
Yeah, you guys walk around all day in pantyhose. I don't want to go fight crime.
I've got to go fight crime. Let me get some spandex and leather and a whip.
Serious?
Let's do it.
What is the deal with that? What happened?
Male superheroes look like dominatrix.
What happened? What happened with that?
It's Captain America and feathery.
The only time I remember it well explained was in, I think it was from the 90s, made-for-TV Flash movie they did.
Okay.
Where he was talking about, the lady gives him the outfit, and he goes, why am I going to wear spandex? She's like, well, otherwise your clothes are going to rip up when you go super speed. And he's like, I guess.
Okay, but why?
That's the only time I've seen
So we've got the super speed. What about every other superhero that doesn't have super speed? What is their reason
Captain
for
America has armor. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Well,
I think Iron Man's safe, but...
Okay, that makes sense a little bit.
The thing I hate most about superhero outfits, capes.
Capes, capes is the dumbest thing. They talk about capes in Watchmen.
They make a point about it. Yeah.
Gotta get his cape caught in the door and then get shot to death.
Incredible. Sucked right in the plane engine.
Oh my god.
No capes! And I keep yelling about no capes.
Yeah.
Right, that is the worst part of any.
Let's start on the
silliness. What normal person walks around with a cape?
Oh, we're gonna start with
a story about a girl in high school that would wear a cape.
I want to wear a cape.
Captain America in preschool, I wore a cape.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to make them out of trash bags to be Batman.
Mine was a Batman cape, yes. My mom actually made one.
Towels have always been like popular, too.
All right, so we've got Captain America and Caitlin Fairchild from Gen 13, which is just like a green unitard thing. And that's how much buzz he showed.
Okay,
he
wait.
Fantastic.
So these are supposed to be
this is
that accentuate male sexuality.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically,
no.
It's guys.
He's in a lady's outfit in this one, yeah. Which
that
is just fun.
Just awful and just scary.
Full on fun.
Okay, I just want you to know something going up the butt crack is not comfortable.
Yeah, and I don't know how that accentuates.
We got the Green Arrow and Black Canary switching outfits.
Okay, no. Again, there's nothing accentuatingly sexual.
It's basically a guy wearing a woman's outfit.
Yeah, not right. The other one has that.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is just,
okay. I see. Okay.
It's
I'm okay with this now.
Superboy in the late 70s, early 80s Saturn Girl costume.
Thigh high boots and
Not much else.
Yeah, not a whole lot else.
And a
pink thigh high boots.
Hercules from Marvel wearing Wonder Woman's outfit. By the gods, these briefs are so tight I fear for the prospects of my future kin. Thou is indeed a wondrous woman to have worn them so long.
I like how we're doing a podcast and looking at pictures.
That's okay. I'm gonna post.
We post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
And there's a Star Fox, who's a Marvel character wearing
that one's
Starfire's
pretty great
outfit.
That one's pretty.
That's her '80s outfit.
Yeah, that's.
By the way, you know, one thing I do have to say though, when with the female superhero comics when they started coming way up off the thigh, that actually made more sense because to be functional, to be tied around the thigh like that, that's not comfortable. Come up here, it's less restricting.
You got Cyclops in Emma Frost's outfit.
For being different.
Yeah, and I like how they have a good junk bulge in that one.
Oh, man.
And then Batman in the Huntress's belly window costume with Superman in the Power Girl costume. And the next one, which I thought was hilarious, is Hal Jordan in the modern Star Sapphire costume.
Wow.
Good. You should stick with it.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good in that one. Yeah. You know, I gotta
although
say.
Ryan Reynolds had better abs.
See? No GS.
Ryan Reynolds can pull it off.
For real.
Yeah.
We should call
Ryan Reynolds in this outfit?
Yeah. He would still be just the...
Marvel's Dracula dressed as Vampirella.
Wow.
And what else? Oh, we've got the JLA with all the guys in variation of Wonder Woman swimsuit.
Oh, man. And Wonder Woman directed traffic.
If I don't get pants, nobody gets pants.
Fair enough.
That's
and,
fair.
And here they got Aquaman in an outfit, and he looks at him and says, I've worn worse.
Aquaman has
more. And then Wolverine in Emma Frost's outfit fighting the Hulk, and Hulk says, Hulk, find this inappropriate. Because there's a lot of hair there.
Yeah.
That's not even enough hair.
Oh, wow.
That is Wolverine drawn lightly haired.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's the thing in the 90s version of the Invisible Woman's costume.
Yeah.
Making fun of the old This Man, This Monster cover.
Yeah, This Man, that's, This Costume.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. Alfred the Butler in Zatanna's costume.
Wow, highly inappropriate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not even in Zatanna's costume. Holding a... God, what is that?
I think it's a cape, a Batman.
No, what is he holding on to?
Like
a pole.
So you don't have to see the bits.
He's precariously wrapped around a pole.
Straddling a pole.
Yeah.
Looks like a steeple for a second.
Catwoman and Batman accidentally put on one of those costumes.
And somebody took pictures.
Yes, that's fun. Somebody the picture is someone taking a picture with a camera phone.
Yeah.
It's funny. And then now we have the what if male superheroes costumes designed like female superheroes costumes. There's Superman with some serious junkage there.
That's some pretty brutal junkage.
Yes.
He stuffs that costume.
There's the Batman one, which is pretty brilliant.
Oh, Lord. Why is Batman wearing a thong?
Fully exposed chest.
Yeah.
You can't shoot me, I'm Batman. Oh, wait.
This is very practical. It helps him fight crime. No, really.
Who the hell would want to be tackled by a man just like that?
No one.
Well.
There's Captain America. In practical fighting pose and cleavage window? What could go wrong? Instead of a star, it's just a cutout.
Oh, man.
There you go. Just Iron Man looking creepy.
Flip flops and a speedo. Yeah.
Who's that woman in the chair he's making uncomfortable?
It's supposed to be Pepper.
Oh gosh. Happy Hogan's wife?
Who needs spines anyway? Not Superman.
Oh lordy.
And there you go. It counts as clothing as it's painted, or if it's painted on, right?
kind of Spider-Man in ridiculous outfit.
Oh man, if you
it's a police hot little point though. It's like
Describe what it looks like, please,
Josh. The Spider-Man one. Oh wow, it's like knee high stockings,
the classic Spidey Spider-Man
mask,
cover.
Spidey gloves, and then almost no chest whatsoever.
And no thigh coverage, and he's holding the man. Amazing Fantasy 15.
And the guy just looks creeped out.
Yeah, as he should.
Yeah.
If it was Ryan Reynolds, way to be like, yes.
God, those abs.
You guys are starting to creep me out.
I'll wash my clothes on those.
I know, right?
This is awesome.
See, that would be useful.
Perfect. There we go.
Ryan Reynolds in the laundry man.
Oh my god. Just everybody washing down his abs.
He has boards. Like attached to his side.
He just stands there in a speedo in front of the basin, and all there's a line of women and dudes just into the horizon.
I would be in that line just because.
You know what? That's because washing machines don't get my stains out the way I need it. Only Ryan Reynolds abs. Just imagine that.
That'd be the best. That should be a detergent or a
Ryan Reynolds abs.
Yeah.
More powerful than Ryan Reynolds abs.
God, I hope he never actually hears this.
Oh,
he will.
Oh, he, one day when we have several more dozens of fans,
when we're up to more than 20 fans, we'll have 40 fans. Ryan Reynolds.
We're at 37 right now.
37
on our Facebook page.
So when we double that, we'll have Ryan Reynolds involved.
And this is and we're gonna talk about this real quick because that'll be probably our last topic.
Yeah. What's our time looking like here?
We're 5 minutes short of an hour.
5 minutes short of an hour.
Yes. Paul Cornell, who is a British writer and also an incredibly nice guy. I met him at Worldcon. He's the British guy I told you about that was walking up and down the line, shaking everybody's hands and introducing himself to everyone.
You don't realize he was shaking everybody's hands, but he had like a staph infection. And he was hoping to find the one guy with an open wound.
Like, damn you, Paul Cornell! You're so nice, I can't say no. But such a nice guy. He talks about something he came up with called panel parity. The rule is for Paul Cornell, he doesn't want to be on a panel unless there's a gender split 50-50. He says he will settle for 2 out of 5 on any comics-related panel. Basically any panel, because he's also a sci-fi writer. He's won a couple of Hugos, I believe, and He's got a decent pedigree. He's written X-Men. He's written a lot of really good stuff. So he's okay if that split isn't quite on, as long as every qualified woman for that panel is on that panel. Because he thinks that, or not thinks, but he says that the face of comics needs to change. And he's done this a couple times now. One of the panels was at a London Comic Con, and they just dropped him from the panel. Another one, he was up there and he actually asked a lady from the audience that somebody had, not from the audience, but he like went around and looked for this chick to put her on the panel. And he said, here you go, now you're on this panel, I feel better about this. And he said, it's going to be messy, a lot of times it's not going to work, and he's going to get bitched at for it working in the opposite direction with being too many women on there. But he says, if there's any chance for any qualified woman to be on that panel, he wants it 50-50. What are your guys' thoughts? Because I think it's amazing.
I do. I think it's great. Now, here's where the internet comes in. I don't know if more women have started reading comics online.
It's quite a few.
Yeah. You know, because it's like before, you know, and this is another thing. It's like, you know, a woman might like comics, but she doesn't want her friends to know that she likes comics, so she's not going to buy them where anybody can see. But she can read them online and...
digital.
Yeah, and no one knows. I think if the industry is going to grow, you have to do something that's going to draw women in. You know, women read a lot, you know? And I think if you could get, you know, find some way to get them in, and it's like they're more likely to listen to something if there's women involved. I think... women have a lot to offer the industry. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the writing, I mean, there's great women artists out there.
Yeah.
Sarah, Cart Pusher.
Yeah.
She's a great artist. In fact, and Maria, is an artist. Marina even said, you write it, she'll do the art. And I think there's an audience out there. I think you just they have to find a way to pull it in. Like I said, I was lucky because you were there to push stuff at me, and now it's like I said, first it started with us reading the superhero comics when you were young, and then you actually recommending them to me. If we could get more people to do that. Now, the biggest problem I see anymore is people are getting to where they don't read. You know, people don't read as much. They read, they'll read stuff on the internet, but to pick up a book and read it, it's just, you know, and it's like...
That's when digital comics do come in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely think something, if you want to appeal to a female audience, you're going to have to find some way to draw them in. And like I said, the split panels with women involved in there, because they aren't being women, they know it.
Yeah.
Looking at as a female perspective, they can say, well, you know, here, this is our perspective on this, and you want women to buy this? This is what you need to do.
Because apparently one of the reasons that Paul Cornell was upset about it is because there are apparently a lot of women working in the industry. I don't doubt it. I was discussing with you guys earlier, DC, before the New 52, their female creator split. They had 12% of their creators were female. After the New 52, 1%, which I'm assuming is Gail Simone writing Birds of Prey, and that's it.
Yeah.
And Dan DiDio got really snotty with a fan who asked him this question at a con, and then some lady wrote like this really scathing article online about it, and all of a sudden DC was like, "What can we do to fix this? Help, let us know what creators are out there." You know, they all of a sudden they started getting really interested in the issue, which I think is a good thing. You know, and if Dan DiDio has to be a jerk, you know,
it's that one person to kind of point it out.
And say, yeah.
Well, you know, and I think there's an audience out there.
They need to find a way to get it.
Exactly. You know,
I think there's a lot of like, a lot of closet case comic book fans.
Yeah.
That there's still a stigma about it.
Well, you know, there's unfortunately there still is even for men, because it's like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
And it's getting better with the generations, but, like...
And the movies are helping, too.
Yeah. My generation, somebody's like, you know, yeah, it's okay to read comics when you're young, but when you get older, you should outgrow them and quit reading them, which is terrible, because
that's like saying,
there's some great stories
grown-ups
out there.
Grown-ups write comics for grown-ups.
That's like saying,
you know?
When you get old, you should probably stop watching that TV show, because... You know,
it's out of your age range now.
Yeah, why does that matter?
Don't watch, I don't want to say friends, but don't watch.
Well, you know, it's like you're talking about you got into your dad's comic books, which have been put up.
What you call it? Any
husbands had comics when he was young.
Yeah.
He didn't have them anymore. He doesn't read comics anymore.
Yeah.
He liked them when he was young.
I think I might be able to get Nick to read the right comics, because Nick was really into, like, Iron Man or Iron Fist and Power Man. He really liked them. He liked the movies. He loves Hulk.
Oh yeah, Hulk.
I don't like when people say you got to outgrow something.
Yeah,
you don't actually outgrow it. You just your interests change.
Yeah.
Or the outside factors change.
You
outgrow pants. You don't outgrow things you liked. Different things.
And if you're it's not because your interests changed, it's probably because of something. Like you just feel that you can't do that anymore because you're a certain age. Which
well, you know,
fair.
And it's
that's
like
not right.
Your older generations are like, you know,
interest in a lot of things.
Exactly. If an older child is reading a comic, it's like you're too old for that. You shouldn't be reading that. You know, but society's changing a lot in that respect.
Yeah.
Thankfully,
yeah.
You know, but I think comics have a lot to offer, and I think they have a lot to offer everybody. You know? I don't care what sex you are, what age you are, there's something out there for everybody.
Yeah. Paul Cornell, when I was talking to him when he was walking with us, he said that's what he liked about the New 52, is that everybody had... There was something that they were going to be interested in that was getting a title. You know, between Westerns and sci-fis and all this sort of crazy stuff. And he said that with his panel parody thing, his ultimate goal is to... force the industry to change, especially change the face of the industry, which is, you know, because of the stigma Sweaty Nerd got. You know, and he said 20 years from now, we're all going to look back and say, oh, I remember when Paul Cornell was doing that panel parody thing? That's silly. Now that, you know, comics is balanced between everybody, because he said it's the same thing, you know, with
the stuff in the 40s and women and things like that. It seems silly, you know, some of the stuff they did seem silly now, like burning bras and stuff like that, but that's because our perceptions have changed, and that's what needs to change, is the perception of the industry.
It's not even just the books themselves. I mean, how many superhero comics have gone on to become movies?
Yeah, that's the big thing right now.
So, I mean, the basis is still there. So, I mean, it's like, I think, well, not like Hollywood or anybody could find something. I mean, not just those. But, I mean, there's a reason to keep them around. I think it would be terrible if all of a sudden it's like, well, nobody's interested anymore. We're not going to write comics anymore. Yeah. That would be awful. I mean, and I don't mean just a few handful of diehard comic book fans. I mean, we all benefit so much in so many ways. I mean, like, even if you've never read a comic, you've seen one of them superhero movies, you know, and that basis is from that book. And the same with, like, a lot of just other movies and stuff, too, that are based from books. But, like I said, I think comics need to stick around. I think, like I said, I think they have a lot to offer. And I say, you know what? I've had this discussion with a friend you had growing up. He doesn't like to read. Well, what are you making him read? Well,
I wouldn't want to read that.
Well, you know, exactly. Yeah. It's like,
that's a nothing book.
If you want to spark someone's interest in reading, find something that interests them.
Yeah.
Make them want to read. And then they'll develop a love for reading even further on. It's like, you know, you're started with comics. Is that the only thing you read?
No.
You know?
Sometimes it feels like it. Yeah. Sometimes it's just the opposite.
But I think comics have a lot to offer. I think they have a lot to offer to every generation. I'm still interested in comics. It's like, give me some more fables. And anything else, like, along that?
Yeah. DC's Vertigo Comics, I think, has helped this issue immensely.
I remember when they first started with the Vertigo, and I would read it just because it was aimed more at adult, and when I say adult, I don't mean, like, X-rated
like dirty stuff
adult.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, a mature, where it's, like, something that would, like, more interest me, and a little bit more of the dark.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to read all the little happy stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And the silliness. Although there will always be a place for Kool-Aid Man, I'm sure. That's the first comic he says he remembers.
The first comic I remember was Mom had a Kool-Aid Man comic that she kept hiding from me, because apparently she was trying to keep it in good shape because she thought it might be worth money someday. And I kept chasing it down, like climbing in closets and hanging off stuff to get it down just because I wanted to read it. I'm sure it's not worth anything now, but...
I find it interesting that they're, trying to change the face of comics or whatever, and his way of doing that is focusing on the women and the women creators and stuff like that.
I think that's great.
I do, too. But I also think that they're not, you know... it's like the kind of face... sweaty nerd guy, okay?
Yeah.
Fat, sweaty nerd guy. Okay, that I mean, right?
Which I'm the Simpsons for.
Well, there we go. So, I mean, but there's so much more in between that and women. You know what I mean? I don't know. Do you
know what I'm trying to say? Isn't a stereotype for a female comic book fan?
No, it's...
No.
That's how...
It's the anti-stereotype.
Yeah.
A female comic book fan?
Yeah. It doesn't exist.
But there's so much more between that.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's just like, now, Maria, who mentioned her, she is a big comic book fan. She does. I said, you know, I ask her how often she buys comics. She says not too much anymore because there's only one shop in town.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not always easy for her to get over there. And
there's a scene in an old Sandman, or not, we're all old Sandman stuff now. There's a scene in Sandman. It's after the Doll's House. Remember the transsexual guy? And he talks about how he used to be into comics when he was a kid and stuff like that. And then the chick, the blonde chick. After the whole storyline is over, because the guy dies, she goes to a comic shop because she wants to put that comic on that guy's grave because he was a good friend. And she goes in there, and it is kind of indicative of a thing, which is like sneering comic nerds being snotty and basically all but sexually harassing her. And she's like,
I just want to buy this comic.
Yeah.
That is a big problem.
Yeah.
There's the folly of the long box for this one.
I'm going to be honest with you. I find a lot of, especially in the, because I've been in a few comic book shops with you before, and a lot of people in there were almost like, unless you're part of their elite group, you're invisible.
Yeah. It's comic book guy.
Dude, this is what's paying your bills, you know?
Yeah.
And you need to not only acknowledge this person is here to buy stuff for you, but be friendly with them. Make him come in to buy more. Bring
what's
him in.
That?
It's like, you know, if you're going to own...
And as the people that work in retail, it almost boggles your mind that somebody wouldn't do customer service.
Yeah, but I do find that happens a lot in a lot of these shops. And I think a lot of it is because a lot of people that open a comic book shop, they're big comic book fans, and the reason they open it is because, this is my business now. I'm making money sitting here reading comics. And they don't think of it as a business person, just as a fan.
Yeah.
And, like I said, you want to make it to where people want to come back into that shop.
So I think Paul Cornell is right. It's not just that. It's the entire face of the industry, comic shops and publishers.
And it's not
every
just,
step between.
Yeah, it's not just women is what I was trying to say. Yeah. Is that that's not just what needs to change. It's not just incorporating the female part in comic books. It's the whole face, the whole everything. There's so much more than just that part of it that needs to change.
Well, you want to know something awesome?
What's that?
A guy I work with, he came up to me, found out I'm big into comics, and he said,
"Dark little secret."
I know he didn't.
Yeah, not if you know
it.
Chris.
He didn't expect it.
Not if you know Chris.
Yeah. No, he came up to me and said he wants to open a comic shop within a year.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted me to be a part of it.
Nice. Cool.
So, that's
a good start.
That'll be fun.
Especially if it's here in town.
Tell him
I'm available.
Huh?
Tell him I'm available.
Oh, I didn't. I told him, I do a podcast with a guy named Josh. Don't ever talk to him. Greasy. Oh, God, he's disgusting.
And he'll never get a word in on the podcast.
Yeah,
like
he never
did this time.
Yeah, what? I chimed in a little bit, okay? My voice is far less hoarse.
Well, he was playing with the baby. Huh?
Yeah.
I was playing with the baby and my knife, not at the same time.
Disclaimer.
No,
you want to let him try to hold Vincent again?
My knife, the one I found in my truck that I use at work, I actually got in trouble for this one.
Oh, yeah.
And it, since you guys can't see it, since I'm holding it up to the microphone here, it kind of looks like the knife that Rick was using in Walking Dead. Gerber knife, pocket knife. I actually got in trouble, air quotes.
You're supposed to have
at work.
A company sanctioned box
knife. No. Not only was it company issued.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it.
I walked in here, no one's ever issued me a blade.
Yeah.
Why should I have? And I was like, you know, I was like, if you're going to tell me not to have it, go tell everybody else over there that they can't have their own personal blade.
It's ridiculous.
Like, and I just walked off. Take that.
Anyway, probably about time we close this mother up. You thinking about opening Arculo?
Thinking about it.
You're not going to do it.
What if I did that? Open and stuff?
What if I did that?
Chris isn't it.
You have to suspend it from the ceiling in your room.
We could do that too.
You could wait till next week. How about that, Chris? So you have that one.
I don't want to bring it back.
Oh,
we need to make the decision.
What do you think?
I'm an open box guy.
Let's roll it. Let's roll a dice.
Roll a die.
A die. Yeah. If we get multiple, we can roll multiple dice. Take that, Arkilla.
Oh my gosh.
He's broken down here.
I just like that he comes with a giant lantern, but he isn't missing a finger, which is bold.
All right,
but he looks better out of the package.
All right, what we're going to do?
Evens you do, odds you don't.
Evens I do, odds I don't.
I bet you could do a high or low. You pick.
Evens I do, odds I don't.
Yeah.
It's on the ground.
I see
the odds you don't.
Ooh.
Odds you don't.
You're safe
anyway,
for now, Arkilla.
So now that is solved.
He grabbed her hair. I'm like,
crisis.
I like how you rolled it again just to make sure.
He likes to lick his hair.
Really bad.
The galaxy does not want Chris to open this figure.
Five.
No.
Three. Six. I've rolled this dice like five, six times.
It's an odd every time.
Every time it's been an odd. Five.
Is odd don't open?
Four. Finally, there's an open. Anyway, I'd like to thank our guests.
One.
My fantastic mom, Tammy.
Thank you, son.
My beautiful fiance, Allie. And my buddy Tony, whose baby has run him so ragged he's almost dead. And of course, little Vincent. Come here, little man.
One.
Two.
Vincent, put the knife down.
Three. Say bye. Say bye.
Bye.
Or just smile.
He's going to clap.
He's going to clap.
For the end. Yay. All
right, thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys. See you next week. Or... not see you next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you.
Well, you'll hear from us next week.
We'll talk to you off next week.
That's right.
Have a good one.